Gunters had attached a large amount of significance to the absence of adventure, the game Halliday was seen playing on this very same Atari at the end of Anorak's invitation. People had searched the entire Middletown simulation for a copy of it, but there didn't appear to be one anywhere on the whole planet. Gunters had brought copies of Adventure here from other planets, but when they tried to play them on Halliday's Atari, they never worked. So far, no one had been able to figure out why. I did a quick search of the rest of the house and made sure no other avatars were present. Then, I opened the door of James Halliday's room. It was empty, so I stepped inside and locked the door. Screenshots and sim caps of this room had been available for years, and I'd studied all of them closely. But this was my first time standing inside the real thing. I got chills. The carpet was a horrendous mustard color. So was the wallpaper. But the walls were almost entirely covered with movie and rock band posters. Real Genius, War Games, Tron, Pink Floyd, Devo, Rush. A bookshelf stood just inside the door, overflowing with science fiction and fantasy paperbacks, all titles I'd read, of course. A second bookshelf by the bed was crammed to capacity with old computer magazines and Dungeons & Dragons rule books. Several long boxes of comic books were stacked against the wall, each carefully labeled. And there, on the battered wooden desk in the corner, was James Halliday's first computer. Like many home computers of its era, it was housed in the same case as its keyboard. TRS-80, Color Computer 2, 16K RAM, was printed on a label above the keys. Cables snaked out of the back of the machine, leading to an audio cassette recorder, a small color television, a dot matrix printer, and a 300 baud modem. A long list of telephone numbers for dial-up bulletin board systems was taped to the desk beside the modem. I sat down and located the power switch for the computer and the TV. I heard a crackle of static, followed by a low hum as the TV warmed up. A moment later, the TRS-80's green startup screen appeared, and I saw these words. Extended Color Basic 1.1. Copyright 1982 by Tandy. Okay. Below this was a flashing cursor, cycling through every color of the spectrum. I typed hello and hit the Enter key. Syntax error appeared on the next line. Hello wasn't a valid command in BASIC, the only language the ancient computer understood. I knew from my research that the cassette recorder functioned as the TRS-80's tape drive. It stored data as analog sound on magnetic audio tapes. When Halliday had first started programming, the poor kid hadn't even had access to a floppy disk drive. He'd had to store his code on cassette tapes. A shoebox sat beside the tape drive, filled with dozens of these cassettes. Most of them were text adventure games. Rocketoo, Bedlam, Pyramid, and Madness and the Minotaur. There were also a few ROM cartridges, which fit into a slot on the side of the computer. I dug around in the box until I found a cartridge with Dungeons of Daggerwrath printed in crooked yellow text on its worn red label. The game's artwork depicted a first-person view of a long dungeon corridor blocked by a hulking blue giant with a large stone axe. When a list of the games found in Halliday's bedroom had first appeared online, I'd made sure to download and master every single one of them, so I'd already solved Dungeons of Daggerwrath about 2 years earlier. It had taken most of a weekend. The graphics were crude, but even so, the game was fun and incredibly addictive. I knew from reading the message boards that during the past 5 years, several Gunters had played and solved Dungeons of Daggerath right here on Halliday's TRS-80. Some had solved every single game in the shoebox just to see if anything would happen. And nothing had. But none of those Gunters had been in possession of the Copper Key.